God never intended you to live on limited energy. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains how your life can be radically changed through the power of God.
Listen, you can bank on this fact that if you have been born again, the Spirit of the living God has taken up residence in your life, and He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. Political offices will change, finances will change, governments will change, friends will change, but Jesus never fails, and His Holy Spirit will never leave you.
Life can sometimes be overwhelming, and balancing all the competing demands we face can be a challenge. But God desires to give you a supernatural strength that only He can give. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, The Power of God, Pastor Chappell offers biblical insight and simple steps that can take you from where you are to where you want to be. As you apply the truth of God's Word, your life will change in ways you never thought possible. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Power to Witness.
So Jesus is telling these apostles, just before He ascends up into heaven, He is telling them now, I am going to go to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, but I'm going to give to you the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to assist you, empower you, and guide you so that you can be witnesses of everything you've seen and heard and experienced, so that the church doesn't stop with my ascension into heaven, but it begins to go forward in power because you are going to be my witnesses. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But notice this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, my friend, God says, I'm going to give you power for a purpose, all right? Power for a purpose. And the purpose is that we're to be witnesses, we're to be telling other people what happened to us. You see, I don't know how to tell somebody how to get saved. Are you saved? Tell them what happened to you. Tell them how you accepted Christ as Savior, because God says, I'm giving you power for a purpose, and the purpose of this church and of your life and mine is to be a witness, to tell someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 3 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So if you're saved, then God says, I'm going to give you power to shine, and the power to shine comes from the Holy Spirit. But God says, if you hide that light, then it's hid to those that are lost. Now, many churches are hiding the light in different ways. Some churches hide the light when they emphasize Earth Day and other causes more than Jesus Christ. Some Christians hide the light because they never testify. They never pass a gospel tract. They've never been trained in evangelism. They're not testifying for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if our light is hidden, then lost people who need to know the way can't know the way because we don't know our purpose. We're not fulfilling our purpose. And so lost people stay in their lost condition because they do not see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants us to testify. You know, I have seen that when people believe in something, they get a little bit excited when they start talking about it. You talk to a Dodgers fan after the Dodgers win a game, and they just kind of get excited about it. Some people get excited about certain types of perfume, or others get excited about home decor. And some people, these days, people get excited about cupcakes. A lot of ladies talking about cupcakes. They get all excited about it. And it's just one thing after another. But I believe that a Christian should be mostly excited about the fact that Jesus saves. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of yesteryear, spoke to his church one time. He said, now, when you speak of heaven, let your light and let your face just light up He said, when you speak of hell, your everyday face will do just fine. Now, there are some Christians that need to have their everyday face light up a little bit as we testify for the glory of God. Ye shall be witnesses. You see, I don't know that God can use me to be a witness. By his power, you can fulfill this purpose of being a witness. There was a boy by the name of Douglas Maurer. He was a 15-year-old boy in Missouri. He had a temperature a few years ago, 103, 104. His parents took him into the doctors. They couldn't understand. They began to run a series of tests. The doctors discovered that Douglas had leukemia. So they called his family in for a family conference. And they did not hide anything from the family. They were very thorough in the diagnosis, and they told the family that Douglas would need 2 or 3 years of chemotherapy. They said, we're going to tell you the honest truth, Douglas. You're going to lose your hair. Your body's going to swell up. There's going to be a lot of side effects. It's going to be a very difficult time. Douglas really struggled with that. They hadn't sugarcoated the news. Douglas went really into a state of depression. He tried not to be discouraged, but he was very, very depressed. His aunt in another state heard that Douglas was having a hard time, and during one of his stays in the hospital, she decided to send him some flowers, and the flowers came, and Douglas saw them. He saw the note from his aunt, and that was all right. But then he saw another note right next to the note from his aunt. And that note said, Douglas, I work at Brie Florist. I took your order. I had leukemia when I was 7. I'm 22 now. My heart goes out to you. Good luck, Laura Bradley. They said when Douglas got the little note from Laura, his whole countenance changed. A smile came over his face. Something about that little note changed his outlook. He was in a hospital with millions of dollars of equipment, surrounded by doctors with hundreds of years of experience, but a 22-year-old girl who made $170 a week, by taking a moment to show compassion, touched that man's life. I want you to know this morning that you don't have to have a theological degree and you don't have to be a Christian of some 20 years for God to use you to touch someone's life. I want you to know it doesn't matter where you live or how much you make, that any one of you in the power of the Spirit of God could touch somebody's life for eternity this month. Someone said, compassion is your hurt in my heart. Instead of getting mad at the neighbors, how about having compassion on them? Instead of getting frustrated at the neighborhood, how about trying to tell others about Jesus Christ this month? That's the pattern. You shall be witnesses. This is your purpose in life. Notice again the verse, please, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Notice this, and ye shall be. Would you say that with me? And ye shall be. And ye shall be. It does not say you shall do witnessing. It says you shall be. God has created you as a human being. He wants you to be something for him and through him. And the main reason he has left us on this planet is that we might be witnesses for him. Hey, how many of you have lived long enough to figure out as a Christian, it's not all about me, it's all about him. You shall be witnesses. If you ever look at the verse when you come into this church above the fireplace, it says, Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that verse begins by speaking about our conversation, which is our lifestyle. And in essence, the verse says, our whole lifestyle should be about getting the gospel out, striving together for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is the will of God, especially in this moment in which we live, that we would live every day ready to witness, ready to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in your notes at 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. God says, I want you to be ready tomorrow on your shuttle bus, tomorrow in your workstation, tomorrow at the gym, tomorrow wherever you might be, at any moment, at any time, I want you to be ready to tell somebody what hope you have in you. And I don't know about you folks, the only real hope I have in me is Jesus Christ. And I want you to be ready, he says, to tell someone. A few years ago, I was preaching down in Houston, Texas, and I preached on Monday night, and then I preached on Tuesday morning. And before I preached on Tuesday night, the pastor said, Brother Chappell, would you like to go with us to visit the NASA Mission Control here in Houston? He said, we have one of the directors in the church. He'd like to give you a tour. And I said, that'd be great. And we went into the building and we walked around, saw all the computers, saw the big screens, and they were getting ready to track the next shuttle that was going to launch as it orbited Earth. And they were telling us all about it. It was fascinating. And while they were talking, I kind of meandered over to the sidewall, and I noticed on the sidewall there was a sign and it said mission statement. And I like to read mission statements. And sometimes I go to a hotel or a place of business, they'll have their mission statement. I thought, this is the mission statement for Mission Control. This is the granddaddy of all mission statements. I want to read this one. And I went over there, and this is what it said. Foundations for Mission Operations at Mission Control. To always be aware that suddenly and unrepentantly, we may find ourselves in a role where our performance has ultimate consequences. So the engineers there at NASA were to have as their mission to always be aware that suddenly and unrepentantly, their role, their performance could have ultimate consequences. In other words, unrepentantly, at a moment's notice, they may have to change a direction or set a dial or give a command that they can't undo. They've got to make the right decision at that very moment because the lives of our astronauts depend upon it. And those engineers are commanded in their mission statement to always be aware of that fact. And we are commanded in our mission statement to always be aware and to always be ready that at any moment God might put you across the path of somebody who needs you to be what you were created to be, and that is a witness for Jesus Christ. Most churches are not witnessing churches, and most Christians are not witnessing Christians, but I say again, his last command should be our first priority, telling others about Jesus Christ. How many of you have a friend, a neighbor, a relative that is lost and without Christ while you sit in this church this morning? Come on now. All of us need to be better witnesses for Jesus Christ. So we are purposed to testify of the truth. Notice secondly, we are purposed to identify Jesus Christ. Notice specifically again in the verse it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. What do the next two words say? Unto me. Let's say it together. Unto me. You shall be witnesses. Say it with me. Unto me. All right. And so we are purposed to identify Jesus Christ. Look in your notes, John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit of God is going to help you to glorify and testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Jesus said, you're going to testify of me. That is the purpose of the power that he has given to us. And so we see the promise of the power, and we see the purpose of the power, that we might be witnesses. And as we close this morning, notice with me the priority of this power. God prioritizes how he wants and where he wants this power manifested. Notice again in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, notice this, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, first of all, we see that we are to be involved in a simultaneous witness. We see the word both. He says, I want you to be getting the gospel out where you live and in other places at the same time. By the way, how many of you are thankful that we have missionaries all around the world preaching the gospel right now? because we couldn't obey Acts 1:8 without those missionaries partnering with us. While we reach Lancaster, they're reaching uttermost parts of the earth. And what are we to do and what are they to do? We are to preach Jesus Christ, Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, telling others about Jesus. We are to see those that receive Jesus baptized in water. The baptism does not wash away their sin, but the baptism is their testimony of faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And after someone is saved and baptized, we are to help them grow in their faith, to become a disciple of Christ, to learn and grow. That's why all of our 45 adult Bible classes have people in the class who are ready on a Wednesday night to sit down with you and line upon line help you get grounded in the Word of God, because Jesus said, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. 2 Timothy 2:2, committing to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hey, let's just put it right down where the rubber meets the road. The goal of Lancaster Baptist Church is to help you grow in the Bible and get to know God and grow in your faith so that you can find someone else and tell them what Jesus Christ has done for you, you see. Because we believe that every member here should be in the ministry and that all of us are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's the will of God for His church, that we simultaneously take the message out. Right now this morning, we have members of this church in Europe and Asia, in all parts of this country. And I believe it's not just a matter of work whereby God is sending them around the world, but that He wants them to take the name of Jesus wherever they go as well. Both in this place and that place at the same time. But notice, not only simultaneously, but notice strategically. The strategy of the church, simply and profoundly found in verse 8. He says, I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, into all the world. You could say it this way, I want you to go into your community with the gospel. The Apostle Paul practiced this in Acts chapter 20. He went to a city called Ephesus in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. The Apostle Paul, as he went there, describes his ministry later on in the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 20. Notice what he says. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and what does it say? From house to house, all right? Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, house to house doesn't work. Let me tell you, it doesn't work if you don't do it. But I'm going to tell you right now, friend, I don't care what your method is. Find a method, find a way to tell someone else about Jesus Christ. And strategically, the Lancaster Baptist Church exists to win as many people in Lancaster and Palmdale and the surrounding area to Jesus Christ as we possibly can. I want you to know, friend, that we intend to reach our Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We take it very seriously. We map out our streets and we look at our mission field and we say, Lord, help us so that no one would come in here on a 6-month TDY in this community, a time of training or a short spell here, and not at least have the opportunity to be saved. How many of you believe that everybody deserves the opportunity to have Jesus in their life? We're not going to hide the light here at Lancaster Baptist Church. We're called to testify, to go out. Do you? Are you fully engaged in your purpose, or are you missing your purpose? The purpose is to witness. I remember as a Bible college student, our vice president of our college one day called me in. He said, Paul, we have 4 ladies out near Indio, California, that they don't have a church near them, and they'd like someone to come and preach to them. Would you go out and preach for them? Boy, I tell you what, that was great. Anytime I could preach, I preached at the rescue missions, the rest homes. I said, I'll be glad to go down there. We took a few students down there and I preached to 4 or 5 ladies. I preached about Noah. I preached about the ark, the gopher wood, all the animals 2 by 2, the sin of the antediluvian society. Every imagination was only evil and wicked continually. I preached everything I knew about Noah, and the whole message lasted 8 minutes in length. A lot of times on Sunday afternoon, my wife says, honey, why don't you preach that message about Noah that you often used to preach? Much to my surprise, after I preached that message, they asked me to come back and preach again the next week. I don't know if it was the content of the message or the length of the message, but they asked me to come back. And we began to have a ministry out there, and later we organized that into a church that still exists to this day. And as we were getting the church going, I began, after we were married, going out on Friday nights and Saturday mornings, and we'd do some soul winning. We would go from house to house testifying. We'd find people in the market, in the park, testify to them about Jesus Christ, invite them to the church. And I remember knocking on a fella's gate, waving at him. He invited me back into his garden area. His name was Carl Houston. Carl was a retired man living in that area. And I don't know a lot, didn't know a lot at that time about how to get a conversation going, but I knew enough to show an interest in a man's stuff, you know. Might be a motorcycle, might be a car. In his case, it was a garden. He said, "You want to talk to me? You got to come back here to my garden. I'm working in my garden." I said, "All right." Went back to his garden. And that man had a beautiful garden, and his specialty was onions. I mean, this guy had huge, huge onions. In fact, Carl reached down in the ground, he plucked out an onion, he washed it off with the hose. He goes, "This sand grows some of the best onions in America." He says, "These are so tasty," and he bit it like an apple. And just stand there biting that old onion like that, chewing on that onion. And after a few minutes, he said, "Here." He pulled me up one, washed off, said, have a bite. Now, we were newlyweds. I mean, I'm telling you what, I wanted to smell good. I wasn't sure about that. I took a little nibble on that onion. He said, "Oh, go ahead, take a big old bite like an apple." And I said, "All right." I took a big old bite. And Carl and I stood there eating our onions. And after a little while, I said, "Now, Carl, I appreciate the onion, but I want to talk to you about something." I said, "Carl, do you know the Lord? Do you know if you died that you'd go to heaven someday? Carl, have you ever thought about this important matter? It's important to know." And Carl said, "I don't really know that I'd go to heaven." And after about 30 minutes sitting on his picnic table there in his backyard, I had the joy of showing Carl how to pray to receive Christ as his Savior. Oh, listen, Carl made the most important decision of his life that day. Now, I smelled like an onion for 2 weeks after that. I went back to my theology classes on Monday, and all the guys around me moved their chairs away from me. They said, "What is wrong with you?" And I said, "Well, I had to eat an onion to help a guy get saved." But you know what I was doing? I was reaching out to our Jerusalem. Reaching our Jerusalem. Reaching our Judea, that's our country. Reaching Samaria, that's our continent. Reaching the uttermost parts of the earth. And so Jesus gathers his disciples, and look at it now, verse 8. His last command. He's about to go up to heaven, and he says to them, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." By the way, how many of you believe Jesus is coming back? Amen. So the angel sees these men just kind of staring there and says, "Look at, don't stand around staring up at heaven. He's coming back. Go out and do what he told you to do and make his last command your first priority." Folks, let's not spend the rest of our days just staring at the heavens. Let's be the witnesses that God has called us to be.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.